Okay, well, we have a speaker tonight, Bridget, and she's brought her friend Olga with her, so I've asked Olga to introduce her.
Thank you. Hey guys, my name is Olga and I am an alcoholic. I had to get to sobriety since March 15th of 2000. I'm very grateful for that. Our speaker tonight is Miss Bridget C. And I've had the honor of knowing Bridget since she was 30 days sober. She's had a lot of changes and a lot of growth. A bunch. But just in general, Bridget's just a beautiful lady. And I watch her live this program one day at a time every day. I watched her go through lots of things, from all kinds of things, like most of us do. But I've watched this lady go through, live this program, use her tools, call sponsor, the whole nine yards. And today, I think she's pretty happy, joyous, and free. But the bottom line is, and I also have the privilege of her being my best friend. And that's a plus, too, both of us being in recovery. So we can kind of... call each other on our stuff sometimes. I called her. No. But anyway, I'm not going to check up. She's the speaker, and it's an honor just to even introduce her. So, Miss Bridget C.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, I'm Bridget.
I'm sitting here thinking, where do I begin? I come from a family of five. My dad was an alcoholic. I know that for a fact. My granddad, I'm not sure. I remember we were all looking for my granddad early one Sunday morning. My grandmother couldn't find him, so we were looking everywhere for him, and we found him in the back seat of his car. He was drunk, and he just decided to sleep in his car, I guess. And I remember him drinking a can of VA juice, and he swore to my grandmom that he would never drink again, and I don't think I ever, you know, saw him take another drink. And so I can't really say if he was an alcoholic or not. I've seen him, you know, drunk one time. But I used to always ask my dad for some of his beer. He came from work every day with a can of Budweiser, and I always wanted it, and he would never give it to me. And he finally did one day. And I remember telling my cousins that when I grew up, I was going to drink beer. And I still say today, that's a promise that I did keep to myself. I went on, I was a quiet child, pretty much, in school. I didn't think that, I didn't feel like I fitted in with the rest of the people. My dad was abusive, very abusive to my mother. And I believe I had a lot of anger towards my daddy about that, and I was always scared, I guess, you know, for my mom when we all left home. So I did okay through elementary, went to school like I was supposed to. I think it all started in the seventh grade, and I would skip school in the seventh grade. There was a neighborhood store, and they sold wine and beer and everything, and the man that owned the store, it didn't matter how old you were. If you had the money, you could buy something to drink. And so we would save our lunch money, and we would purchase stuff to drink. And I liked the feeling that I got from it. And it covered up some feelings that I was going through with my dad. And I guess I just continued to cover my feelings up, what I felt for my dad, and I drank. And so I started out drinking alone, you know, at a very early age, and going to school and getting put out of school. I think I was about 20, well, no, I was 21, I think, for 3 years straight. I went to Gary Job Corps, and after I got out, I drank for 3 years straight. I mean, every day. I don't think I missed a day for 3 years, and I started having problems with my stomach. About 3 years after that, I ended up getting my first DWI, and it was Thanksgiving. And I had to go to, I got a DWI, I stayed in jail overnight. I had to go before the judge, and he had me to fill out this paper. He said I couldn't pass it or I couldn't fail it. I just needed to fill it out, answer the questions. And after I finished answering the questions, he said, well, you need to go to AA. And I had to do it like maybe four nights a week. And I would not admit that I was an alcoholic. So the counselor she told the judge that I didn't need to be in there because I wouldn't cooperate or participate with the group. So I had to go back before the judge, and he told me that if he that I didn't have to go to any meetings. But if I came back to this courtroom, then I would be sorry for that. So he told me to go ahead and go back out there. That's what I did. About 2 weeks later, I ended up with my name in the paper again. I'm from a small town, Morrison, Texas, and my name was in the paper. And 2 weeks later, my second DWI, you know, so I did about 44 days in the Harrison County Jail. They took my driver's license away from me. And after I got out, I remember my brother and his friend, they came to pick me up. We went straight to the convenience store, and we bought a lot to drink, and we started partying again because I was out of jail. That was the reason they bought all this stuff. And so they had taken my driver's license away from me, and I still had my car. I still drove. You know, I mean, I just did. So I was basically, I guess I had crossed that line by that time. I had crossed over into the disease of alcoholism, but I was still functioning, you know, as far as the work, you know. I mean, I still would have jobs, and I would get up and I would go to work, but it was all about going to work and after work, just drink, you know, until I passed out. I learned that I didn't go to sleep, I passed out. You know, since I've been here, I knew I passed out and I came to. I never woke up or anything like that, I just came to. So as time went on, I just continued to drink and work. But alcohol always gave me courage to do other stuff and to try other stuff. And people used to dare me to do stuff, you know. And as long as I was full of alcohol, I did it, you know, just to prove a point. So I started, got the courage to do other stuff. And so I think I was like 30, 31, 32. I went to a treatment facility. They told me that it would be a good thing if I did a geographical change. And I, no, thank you, I'm not leaving my mother. And so, about a couple of more years later, my dad passed. I did between 97, somewhere between 90, 94 and 97, I did manage to stay dry for 3 years. I started college. I had a full-time job, and I was a full-time student at TSTC in Marshall. So this guy in one of the rooms, he took me under his wing, basically, and made me a GSR. I only think I had 6 months. And so I was pretty busy. And my dad got a chance to see me sober. After my dad passed, 2 months later, I used that as an excuse to go and drink. So I stayed out there to 98, and I left. That's when they told me I need to do a geographic change, and I did. And I made it to Waco, Texas. 2 months later, they called me with a phone call and said my mom had passed. I didn't find it necessary to drink. It wasn't until maybe about a year later. It was just one hot summer day. I stopped at a convenience store, and when I was drinking, they didn't have Bud Ice, and the lady had a six-pack on the counter, and, you know, it looked pretty good. So I went and told the lady that was riding with me, man, that six-pack, it was real cold, it was sweating and everything, I never tasted it. You know, so we ended up stopping at the store and getting a six-pack and going to see what it tastes like. And from there, I was gone. So I end up losing my apartment. I end up moving in a house with some guy, and like I said, alcohol gave me the courage to do other stuff, and that really took me fast. And I did not want to go back into the same treatment facility because I knew this lady that worked there, and she would do all the I told you so's, and so I didn't want to go back. But I was tired, you know, and I knew, I had a God of my understanding as a child, but I was scared to basically just, I think about that all the time. I used to lay, you know, and ask the God of my understanding to take all that away from me. But I don't think I really meant it, you know. I really don't. Because it whenever somebody showed up, you know, yes, I want something to drink. I didn't even try. I didn't put forth an effort not to drink, you know. But I was asking them to help me. But it got to a point, I end up in this motel room, and I remember falling on my knees, saying to God, please help me. You know, because if I had to continue to live the way I was living, then I would rather be dead. And a couple of days later, I found myself ringing a doorbell at a Freeman Center detox unit. And they told me if I could be there the next day at 1 o'clock, I would have a bed. And that was right before Thanksgiving of 2002. And I was supposed to have been at the Freeman Center for 90 days. And I was funded through United Way. And United Way ran out of funds. So they asked me after 30 days, did I have anywhere to go? I told them no. And I said to them, well, you told me I had 90 days here. And I said, well, we don't have any money, so you have to leave. Me and a lot of other people. And I didn't want to go back to where I'd come from. And so I ended up going to, for whatever reason, I'd never gone to a Winner's Circle meeting. I went to a Winner's Circle meeting, and no one showed up but the three guys that led the Winner's Circle group. And it was cold. And basically, I just told them I was homeless, and they was like, it's too cold to stay in the street. So they put me up in a motel room, and I ended up staying after that night. I ended up staying in the Salvation Army for 3 nights. And next thing I knew, God led me to the Recovery Hope House, the house that I was on. And I remember sitting on that front porch asking God to do with me whatever He wanted to do with me. But it took me a while to ask Him that, because I thought that if I gave my will and my life, which I didn't know at the time, it was my thinking and my action, to just give my will and my life to God, I had no clue. I was just fearful of what He was going to have me to do. You know, I wasn't sure if I wanted, you know, was ready for that, you know. But I did it anyway, because I tried every way I possibly could. Everything that I knew how to do, I tried to be a person to drink and be able to stop drinking. Not get DWIs, not get into fights, not have the blackouts. You know, I wanted to drink like other people drink. But I couldn't do it. And so I had to give it up, and that's what I did. And I look up there in that corner, and it said, either God is everything or He is nothing. And I remember reading that big book, and that was one of the first things that I read in that book. And that made me stop and think, you know, either I'm going to trust God or I'm not. You know, and my mother used to tell me all the time, you cannot straddle the fence. You know, you're going to be with God or you're going to be on this other side, you know. But anyway, I was ready. I was ready. And I got a sponsor, and it was time to take the steps. And when it got down to the fourth step, it took me a while, because I did not want to, I came in with a mask. I didn't want y'all to know everything about me, just some things, you know, but not everything. And so I ended up having to work through and a lot of talking with God before I was able to do that fifth step. But I did it, because y'all told me that was the only way it was going to work. And every time I went in an AA room and listened to y'all, and then I decided that, okay, I have enough of y'all information, enough of my knowledge, and I can go out there and do it again, and I mess up, and I come back in the room, I saw some of the same people still in that room, so I knew something was working. So that convinced me enough that if I truly want this, I got to do what y'all say, you know, and that's what I came in here and did, and I'm still trying to do that until this day. But I took the steps, and it just felt like I wasn't going anywhere. Nothing was happening. You know, I just felt like I was stuck. But the God of my understanding has been showing me that He is truly with me. I mean, He just put stuff right there in front of me. And it's just like every time I think that He's shown me just how great He is, He showed me something bigger. You know, the promises have come true for me. I do have peace and serenity. I have days when I have to work just a little extra, you know, to maintain that peace and that serenity, because sometimes I'm around people that's negative. I can start off on a positive note every morning, and matter if it's at work or wherever I go, you know, there's like something that's trying to drain it out of me, and I have to work and you know, stay focused on God and do use the serenity prayer and, you know, just remember where I came from. You know, this program has given me so much. It's given me my family back. I call my sister every day, well, every weekend. My brother's in Waco with me. It's just so much stuff. I can go on and on, but it's just the fun that I'm having now. You know, I mean, it is great. I mean, I can remember it. You know, I can talk to people without having to drink first. I can go to dances or go anywhere without having to drink. You know, I used to have to drink to get involved or be involved, and I don't anymore. And I'm being the real Bridget. You know, I don't know, just so much that y'all have given me and this program has given me. And I wouldn't want to trade it for anything. You know, I remember watching this movie one time, and there was this old lady, this young lady was having trouble with a babysitter and paying her utilities. And I remember this old lady saying to her that God is getting ready to take you through something. You're getting ready to go through something. You know, and I didn't realize this 6 year of sobriety, this has been my worst year. I mean, it started out, I mean, it was just like anything that could happen, happened. I mean, just everything just was going wrong. But I did not drink, and I continued to talk to a lot of people and tried to keep that faith and that trust. And I see now, and I know now, that it was just, I feel like I'm another level. I've stepped up another level from where I was because of all that I went through in the beginning of this year. Because just then, within 2 months, God once again has revealed Himself to me in so many ways. I mean, it's just so many ways. You know, I literally heard God speak to me to tell me to tell this guy, because I went to a visit a prison on Friday, and He used me to tell this man something. And I had no clue what it meant, but this guy came back to me and told me exactly what it meant. That was confirmation for him. I'm like, wow. You know, that someone like Bridget, the way I used to think and do, my old ideals, emotions, and attitudes, and all that stuff, you know, had just been turned around, you know, and God is using me. When I didn't think that I would ever be in a spot like this. And that's just by allowing myself and this program a chance to work. And it does work. And I truly do believe that what you put into it is what you get out. You know? I don't know what else to say, is that I'm happy to be here. And it's an honor for you to ask me to come and share my story. Like I say, I can go on and on and on, but it's just, I guess, to break it down, one is to trust in God, clean house, and help others. And that's what I've been doing. Thank y'all for letting me share.